guess we won't have a visual effect. It's okay. I mean, if you want to try it, Erin, you're welcome to try it.
Mine was just actually a document that you've already seen, and I was just going to show you so you can kind of see the size of it. So hi, I'm Chris Paschall. I'm with Portland State University Library in Special Collections. And I was just going to pick up kind of the story you've been hearing and talk about where we came into it and what the role PSU has played. So, as Tom and Marcus have both mentioned, we were kind of brought in to the conversation in July of 2010 when Tom contacted me and gave me some of this fantastic background and let me know that they had these documents and were kind of trying to make the next moves to return them to the CCBA, but also to find ways to make them more accessible. So I guess I should clarify, because we're kind of represented in this project. Portland State is kind of doing digitization and preservation, and that sounds very high-tech and fantastic, and like we have laser beams and, you know, all sorts of cleaned-up documents and the things that you see on NOVA. But it wasn't actually like that. We did help with the digitization. Colin Fogarty, actually, the editor at Northwest News Network, had scanned the majority of the documents himself, actually. And what was holding them up was that they had a couple oversized documents. The one roster that you saw earlier is a map size roster, so it would take up a big chunk of one of these tables here, and he wasn't able to scan something that large, and there were a couple others. So that was something that we immediately were able to offer up at Portland State, was we have an overhead scanner, and we were able to handle a huge document like that. And the goal was to get them all digital so that they could go online. And so, also the fact that the goal was to get them back to the CCBA, and since we were based in Portland, so it kind of made sense that we would go ahead and take that on. So he brought them to me. If any of you came to hear kind of the tech side of scanning, we did them as 600 TIFF files, 600 DPI TIFF files, so they were enormous, giant files, and burned them to DVDs and sent them on to everybody so they had copies. The other thing we did is, with that roster particularly, there were some just basic preservation things that we did. We put them in archival housing and in Mylar, a little more protective material. With the roster, the photo I was going to show you was just we decided to keep it unfolded and give it a little support with a little archival backboard and a Mylar cover, and so that it could be open all the time. It's a really fantastic document. Just the stress of, of course, as you guess, unfolding it and folding it again was showing and was going to get worse, and so we were able to do that, and we had flat storage. So that was kind of where we entered the picture. We did that sort of basic digitization and preservation, and then also along the way, Marcus and I had met at the Oregon Archives Crawl. So we had this talk, and it turned out that the CCBA was going through renovations and doing work on their facility, and so we agreed, we kind of came to a mutual agreement that Portland State would be happy to hold on to the materials until they were ready to take them back to their facility where they felt they had kind of safe and secure and appropriate storage for them. So that's what we've been doing. So understandably, Tom asked me, he said the question he thought he would like to hear me answer was, well, what does Portland State get out of this, really? So I can understand that question, because I think the standard practice is, as at least as you archivists know, is that, when a collection comes in on your radar like this and it comes into your physical custody, we usually, it's our gut tendency is to be like, get that to me. And I can't pretend like that didn't cross my mind. Possession is 9/10 of the law. But that is the standard practice, is that when something comes into the repository, you want to accession it as a donation and transfer the custody to the institution. And there's reasons. I mean, we all know the reasons for that. I mean, it just gives a clarity in the legal ownership. It keeps everything kind of, the liabilities clear, the access clear, the ownership clear. And, as a repository, you're putting resources into this collection. You're putting, physical resources in terms of rehousing, time, storage, if you're providing access. And so, a repository wants to know that after putting time into this collection, is someone going to show up in 10 years and just walk out the door with it? So that is why, there is a reason why we have that system. And this sort of collaborative project, challenges that sort of system in a lot of ways. But what I found, to me, one of the most interesting, it was nice to have that challenge. And I was thinking that that right now, especially, what we're becoming aware of is anybody who's in, all of you, if you're associated with cultural heritage organizations or libraries or archives or museums, it is becoming less and less possible for everyone to do everything. And it's not necessarily making sense anymore. And I think that it's in some ways putting a lot of things at risk when we all want to do it one way in accession and be the ones who put it online, the ones who provide the access, and the ones who own it, and all that sort of stuff at the same time. When we're all doing that, and in some ways we're sometimes at cross purposes, or we're sometimes just not working efficiently to the detriment of everybody, I think. So like in this case, we had the technology, the CCBA had this incredible context and this incredible passion and advocacy and knowledge about the records. We had the equipment to help to scan them. In our case, though, for PSU, OSU was much better equipped with an infrastructure in terms of getting stuff online, and that's what you'll see with Natalia's great project. They had the multicultural archives, they had invested in it, and she was ready to roll. And so in that case, it made perfect sense that, of course, all of that would fall under OSU for us. What we had to offer, as I said, we had the physical space, right? We had the kind of background to do sort of micro store preservation in terms of rehousing, macro preservation. We had secure storage. We had mediated access for reference and for researchers and things like that. So we were able to offer that up. The other thing that we also had is close proximity to the CCBA in the sense that they're a Portland-based institution. And it's a community-based records. They're planning to take them back to their own program. And so that mattered too. And I think that's something that also came up to think about in these kind of cross-institution collaborations. Digitization is amazing because it makes, it is a good preservation technique. You kind of have that digital surrogate, you protect the materials. But also, most of all, it makes those materials accessible to anybody, anywhere, literally in the world who has internet access. So it's an amazing thing. At the same time, with collections that are community-based or community-tied or have strong community ties, proximity, physical proximity still matters to a lot, and it's understandable. And so in these collaborations, that's something that we can think about, who is kind of working in that digital realm and who is working in terms of with the community or providing proximity, keeping things in proximity too. So basically it's a way of kind of evaluating what do the collaborative partners have to bring to the table. All of that, though, doesn't necessarily answer Tom's question, which is what PSU gets out of it. Obviously, we're an academic institution, and so this is an amazingly rich collection, and in this case, fantastically, because Tom has this whole list of things that students could research and write their master's theses on, so it's kind of spoon-fed to our students like this amazing, here's the stuff, and here are some starting points. And so that's always, that's part of our mission as an academic institution, is to know what primary resources are out there and help our students find them and connect with people who also know the context and more information or can tie them to other amazing projects like what's going on at Lone Fir or in these smaller communities that that Tom highlighted too. So of course we get that out of it, and that's huge for us as an academic institution. We're really about teaching and learning. But the other thing is also, not to get too sappy about it, but ultimately, Portland State is a public institution. And I think what happens is, in this case, we also say our motto is let knowledge serve the city, and we try to take that very seriously. And we're part of the community, and we want those bounds. We don't want boundaries for the community. Our boundaries are very fluid. Our borders are very fluid with our community. We're right in the city. And so as a public institution, I think that we just have a responsibility to be there in whatever capacity a community organization or community archives needs us to be. And it isn't always about trying to maintain this sort of, idea of what a repository is supposed to be doing. We're there to do what we need to do. And so I think that's part of our commitment in this case to work collaboratively with OSU and CCBA and kind of figure out what works best for all of us. And what's nice about that is, we're kind of setting up some models for how this collaboration could work with other organizations or if CCBA continues to collect and expand. And having an actual real model in place, I think, helps us all plan better. I think as Marcus was talking about, they're developing, CCBA is developing their museum, they're developing their archives, they're developing their programming. OSU is building their infrastructure, their digital infrastructure. What can we then bring so someone else doesn't have to do it? This is a discussion that we've had some about, you know, I have a reference reading room set up. We have it staffed. We are set up to serve researchers who need long-term access to a collection. Does CCBA really want to have to do that too, if we're doing it, or if Oregon Historical Society is doing it? Is there some way that we can all, you know, think about leveraging what we have to make it all work so that we can all kind of develop our strengths? The other thing that I think what matters to PSU too is that stories like Tom's story are wonderful because of the serendipity, right? You know, the deep throat call about the records, or, you know, who knows what trash can they came out of to this person, and then, you know, the fact that Tom was actually interested enough to follow through, and that Colin was interested, they together were interested enough to reach out to a network of people to get interest in it. Is a fantastic story. To me, it's also a little unnerving because it is serendipitous, and you're kind of, we were lucky that we had two people who started with this passion, who were interested, who were able to contact people, who were willing to respond and go from there. And so, to me, what I think one of the most important parts of this collaboration is that network. And it's funny, one of my slides actually was Colin's quote about making this go beyond this box of documents and developing relationships. And it's funny because each of us have referred that to that now, and you can tell that that really resonated with us all. And so what I see coming out of this, and one of the roles that PSU as a big public institution based in the city can play, is that network can be also, I mean, that network can be a safety net, or if you want to rub that to put that together, a safety network. The more that we all know about what's out there and where it is and why it matters, then the safer that material is, the less likely a collection like this is to end up somewhere where you're just hoping one individual takes it on as their passion to find a way to save it. So I guess that's also something that PSU wants to be part of and should be a part of as a big public institution. And in the end, that's very satisfying, and that's been the most wonderful part of this collaboration for us, is to begin to see that safety network in this state. As Tom was showing you, you know, you see, we all know how quickly something can just disappear. It's unnerving, but you see those communities, and, you know, where is the history of some of those Chinese immigrant communities in smaller towns? People are recovering it, that's fantastic, but we all need to kind of be supporting each other and looking out and stepping in or offering what we can offer when it's needed. So, you know, I want you to be able to have plenty of time to see Natalia's fantastic visual view.